As Pastor Paul shared, we've known your church for a long time, at least 10 years, maybe longer, and it's really, really good to be back with you. When we signed up, let me introduce my family to you. Corinne is my wife, and then Morgan, Monica, and Matthew. When we signed up to go to Venezuela, we were going to one of the most stable democracies in the hemisphere. They had had 40 years of peaceful elections, which was kind of a record south of the border, because a lot of times there's coup d'etats, there's changes in governments, military governments, dictatorships, things that happen. And it's been very interesting to be in Venezuela. I know Venezuela has made the news here. And just kind of want to share some of the stuff that we've encountered. The slogan of Hugo Chavez Frias, the current president of Venezuela, is Socialismo, Patria, o Muerte. Socialismo, Patria, o Muerte. And you see this slogan in many different places in huge letters. Socialism, country, or death is what the slogan translates to. Death is kind of an interesting word because there's been a lot of dying going on. I shared it in the Sunday school class. There's been 100,000 murders since Chavez took over. It's really become a lawless land. That's in a population of 25 million. 100,000 murders in a population of 25 million is 10, 11, 12 times our murder rate here. So it's just been a bloodbath. And Chavez does not value life that much. He is reportedly a practitioner of Santeria. Santeria is a religion of Cuban and African origin that has a lot to do with spiritism. It has some syncretistic elements of Catholicism, but basically it's a mafioso kind of way of practicing witchcraft. What it is if you don't want bad things to happen to you, you will pay me so much money. And then next month you'll pay me another little bit and your kids will be healthy and I'll do good witchcraft on you. I'll put blessings on you. But if you fail to come up with that cash that I'm expecting, don't be surprised if your kids get sick or if your house burns down or things like that. And so there's sort of a pyramid scheme that takes place in Venezuela under Santeria. And there's just a lot of lawlessness and including death since the times of Chavez. The word patria, country, is a key word as well. Chavez is very pro-Venezuelan. They're very proud of the fact that Simón Bolívar was born in Venezuela, and he's the one who's basically the George Washington of several nations, of Venezuela, Colombia, Bolivia, Ecuador. All those countries were liberated from the colonization of Spain through the workings of a Venezuelan, Simón Bolívar. And he champions the cause as if he were a reincarnation of Simón Bolívar. This independent spirit coming out of Venezuela and believes that Venezuela will be the nation that will lead the other nations in South America to throw off the Yankee yoke. His speeches are regularly anti-American, very, very strongly so. He's referred to Bush even with bad words, calling him, a buffoon, essentially, but using bad language and so on and so forth. Everything is the U.S.'s fault. Everything is a conspiracy of the CIA trying to overthrow his government and so forth. And so that's a regular diet that we receive via airwaves and radio waves and television waves day in and day out. Even global warming is the Americans' fault. So if there's a bad storm that hits Venezuela, that's the gringos that have sent the bad storm down and so on and so forth. When he says socialismo, socialism, he's really meaning communism. He considers himself a disciple of Fidel Castro, the dictator of Cuba, who has now, because of health reasons, passed things on to his brother Raul. Very, very enamored with the Cuban Revolution, with Castro politics, with the exportation of revolution to other countries, Castro style. And he spends as much time on the island of Cuba as he possibly can. He regularly flies back and forth to get consults and advice from Fidel. If it were just political, brothers and sisters, that would be one thing. But it's gone beyond that, in my opinion. In a recent speech, I'm talking in the last 6 months or so, 6 to 9 months, Chavez used the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven." He used the Lord's Prayer, substituting the Heavenly Father with Fidel Castro. So, "Our Father Fidel who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done," etc. This is what's happening. And it's a scary deal. Is the church immune to this? Again, I want to just share how rapidly things changed. We were going to the most stable democracy on the continent, we thought, the Bell family. We were all prepared for that. That sounded good. We didn't know that we would be making the news for the next 10 years. You know, we just didn't know that. And we didn't know how quickly things could change. The Free Church of Venezuela, I'm sorry to say this, 3 out of 5 of the directors of the Free Church of Venezuela are pro-Chavez. You just need to know that. The ministry that we conducted in Venezuela fell under disrepute, I think largely because I'm a North American. And we were severely attacked. I was accused of firing national pastors. I was accused of doing all kinds of things that never happened. That I'd never even had the authority to do anything, any such thing. But because the anti-American, anti-Yankee rhetoric is heard day in and day out, and they saw our ministry as something that was a growing ministry and was a well-known ministry in the country and was doing things, I was an easy target. And we're back in the States largely because, frankly, persecution from other Christians. That's essentially what happened. We've had probably the most difficult 2 years of our life. We are very sorry we have not been able to communicate better. But all our, what are we going to say about a national church by a letter to you? It just wasn't the right thing to do. And our mission as well had misunderstood a lot of things that happened. It was just very, very difficult to explain. It was very difficult couple of years for us, quite frankly. But we really, really thank you for your prayers. We were at a fundraiser for Trans World Radio in the city of Valencia. The city we live and worked in for 8 years is a city of about 2 million people. And there are a number of evangelical churches, free churches, Baptist churches, Pentecostal, and so forth. We were at a fundraiser in a large hotel to raise money for Trans World Radio. And our guest speaker, the main speaker that day, was a Baptist pastor. And we had some of our food and so on and so forth. And he got up to preach. And he said, "Brothers, you just won't believe the transformation I've gone through. I am now understanding the Bible like I never have before. I have gone through a real hermeneutical shift. I finally understood that you have to get into the mindset of the first century and into the culture, into the Mediterranean region," and so on and so forth. He gives this long introduction, and he says, "Open your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 25. You'll recall there's two big parables there, one about the sheep and the goats, but he wanted to preach on the parable of the talents. And so he starts preaching on the parable of the talents. You'll recall that one servant was given 5 talents, another servant was given 2 talents, and a third servant was given 1 talent. Does this sound familiar? The one who was given 5 talents worked his money, invested it, and came back with 5 more talents. Came to his master when his master returned from the long journey and said, "Master, you gave me 5 talents. Now I'm giving you the original 5 you gave me and another 5. Here's 10 talents. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Correct? Second servant, been given 2 talents. He worked his money, multiplied it, invested it well, got 2 more talents back. When the master returned, he said, "Here's 4 talents. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The last servant buried his talent and had no earnings. He just returned the buried talent to his master. And he was cast into utter darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 35 in that chapter. Our Venezuelan Baptist pastor said, "We've misunderstood this parable. We've learned it wrong. I now understand what this parable is about." You see, the first servant and the second servant who multiplied their talents were dirty capitalists who took advantage of people and stole and were greedy and enriched themselves at other people's expense. The good person in that parable was the one who conserved his resources and buried it in the soil. Can you imagine? My wife and I were there. Others of us were there. And not because we're Americans, and certainly not because we're capitalists, but because we're believers in sound exegetical interpretation of Scripture, we had to get up and walk out. The saddest part about it was that we were the only party that did. All the others were just, "Wow, that's really interesting. That's really, wow. I'll have to think about that." Friends, there's nothing to think about that. That's turning Scripture on its head. That's politicizing Scripture. That's making Scripture be the handmaiden of your political agenda. And that is wrong. That is deception. And that's an example of the kinds of things, the spiritual battle we're waging in Venezuela. Very, very tough. Very tough. If we look older, it's because we've aged. Okay, a few years have passed too, but it's been tough. It's been tough. Sleepless nights, wrestling with the enemy, and we couldn't have done it without you. We really appreciate it. Many of you didn't know what we were going through, you know, but the Holy Spirit knew what was happening. And as you prayed for us, maybe very generically, the Holy Spirit knew how to interpret that with his own groanings and his own input. We have the high priest Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father as well, interceding for us. We just really thank you for your prayers. We're good. Don't feel sorry for us. Okay? We are in one piece, and the Lord has been really good. We probably hit bottom from an emotional standpoint probably 10 to 12 months ago and have been on a good road since. We're eager to continue to do ministry. We feel like we've been refined by fire, and here we are. Let me just challenge you very directly. From our experience, I think we have the authority to say things can change quickly. We have a very, very comfortable Christianity in this country. Very, very comfortable. All the blessings for me and all the promises for me, you know, and all the comforts for me. And we have all the comfort passages and all the nice passages for us. But Scripture warns us very clearly. But the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. That's 1 Timothy 4. And then it says in 2 Timothy 3, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these." And then Paul solemnly charges Timothy, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And I think this is the challenge that we have. We don't know how close we are to the end times. We know we're closer than yesterday. There's a lot inexorable logic in knowing that we're closer to the end times than we were yesterday. What strange things will we be believed? I don't know. But we need to be prepared. So, the economy's gone south. Maybe that's a good wake-up call for us to know that, you know, things that we thought we could count on are sinking sand. The only rock that God offers us is the person of Jesus Christ. Let's stay in shape. Let's run the marathon. Let's fight the good fight. Let's pray together. Lord God, we know from Scripture that an Antichrist is coming. And John says that many Antichrists have come. That there is a spirit of Antichrist at work in this world. A spirit of deception. Lord, we don't want to be prophets of doom, and we don't want to be wrapped up in conspiracy theories and all kinds of speculations. But we want to discern well our times, Father. And we want to discern your word. We pray, Father, that we would be people of the book and that we would examine everything in the light of your word. Keep us diligently serving you, Father. Keep us faithful in this road that Jesus himself walked. Oh God, we love you this morning. Lord, we thank you for, in the name of my family, thank you for preserving us and watching over us in Venezuela. And thank you for watching over this church here in Clearwater, Kansas. And Father, may your faithfulness continue to keep us, and may we continue to walk with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.